Public hasn't come up with other proposals. I think they have. This list has been of the last 6 months of plenty of alternatives. There's just none that you like. All show the determination and dedication of the residents of this city to help you solve the problem of fixing our streets. But you've dismissed every one of these. Instead, you created two new taxes that create a bureaucratic nightmare of 1040 tax forms, almost 100 new city employees. It has no sunset, no increased limits, and no true oversight. And still you won't let us vote. It's time to go back to the drawing board. And when you do, I'll be there to help, like I was all summer, trying to come up with an equitable, reasonable, livable way to fund the safety and maintenance of our streets.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Ms. Sanderson, could I have a copy of your, or sure. You could email it to me or whatever.
There's more. Oh, of my testimony or my list?
The list.
My list. I have some more. I've been taking notes today.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Terry Dublinsky-Milton. I'm the transportation chair for North Tabor Neighborhood Association. That's my first hat, although I also wear a bike activist hat, and so I have two separate conversations. Now, the North Tabor Neighborhood Association hasn't officially taken a stance on it, but everything I'm saying is stuff we have taken a stance on. In the 2 years of outreach we have done, I have heard over and over again that our neighborhood is dominated by two major problems. We're sandwiched between the Banfield and the Burnside High Crash Corridor, with the eastern end being the max stop and freeway access with incomplete crossings, very poor bikeway access, and three elementary schools and middle schools and two high schools with no conductivity. We also don't have a developed park, although we do have a prison. And so access regionally is very important. That's why the street fee is so important to us. Every resident that I've heard from in 2 years has talked about conductivity and safety. Now, our western end of the neighborhood is dominated by a large medical institution. I'm concerned that the business side is not going to take these large medical institution nonprofits into account because of the many thousands of trips they generate. The west end of our neighborhood is dominated of 10 years of issue. As long as I've lived in a neighborhood, it's been issues dealing with the hospital and conductivity, safe crossings, and that type, and mass transit issues. And so I'm mostly concerned that the business side looks specifically at nonprofit medical institutions, because they may be nonprofits, but they're getting most of the money through Medicare and Medicaid, which is public resources. Now, moving over to my bike activist hat. Bike Loud PDX is a bike group that is focused on improving bicycle infrastructure. We believe, and I personally believe, that the personal income tax limit upper income bracket should be eliminated. The upper incomes already get a lot of federal tax breaks, and that extra money could be specifically dedicated to making the workforce efficient, safely, and quickly get to work, active or mass transit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, my name is Dave Peters, and I'm the co-founder of a small software business and a proud Portland resident. I support passing an income tax in order to raise funds for city streets. An income tax is a great way to raise this necessary funding because it can be structured in a way that asks people to contribute to the shared resource based on what they can afford. And user fees are not equitable. The burden is higher for the poor, middle, and working classes. Funding should not be based on an assumption that people and businesses in the city can all contribute the same or even a similar dollar amount. For that reason, I want to say thank you for designing this proposal around a bracket income-based model. That said, I'm concerned about one major regressive feature of the current proposal, which is the low $75 cap for individuals making over $333,000 per year. This is effectively a tax break for the 1%. The cap should be increased or eliminated, and much of the additional funds raised from that should go towards reducing the tax burden on the middle and working class families who are already heavily burdened by today's economic systems and trying times. If someone's income reaches above and beyond $333,000 per year, then they can and should continue to contribute more. We need to make this income tax more progressive in order to, for Portland to be the more just and equitable city that I hope that we all want it to be. I also stand with the many amazing community nonprofits in urging the city to allocate more of the funds from this tax to safety improvements, especially improvements for our most disadvantaged residents. Everyone deserves the dignity of a safe way to get around their neighborhood. We all know that that isn't happening, and we all know where it isn't happening. I'd like us to allocate at least 50% of the funds raised on these vital safety improvements. Thank you for listening, and thanks to everyone who's worked on this effort. Getting the street funding passed is incredibly important, and I urge the council to do it and do it right, and I think you also have the right to do it, and I challenge anyone who claims taxation without representation to think about the last time they voted for our federal income taxes.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Jason Kurian, Chris Kopka, and Lisa Rummel. And they'll be followed by Leslie Centner, Carol Forshens, and Elizabeth Robillard.
Good afternoon. I think you're on first, Mr. Kopka.
Good afternoon. My name is Christopher Kopka. I'm speaking for myself today. You might know that I've been a member of the 2007 Transportation Committee. I've been a member of the Commercial Committee in the most recent effort. I want you to know that I personally stand firmly behind the Business Alliance's evaluation and response to your proposal. That said, it's my sense that a majority of council will vote in favor of something based on the ordinances you put out. And so I want to offer my commentary about that. I'm not going to focus on the Alliance position. I thought we'd have 3 minutes. We have 2 minutes, so I'm going to do a little bit of abbreviation here. I had a section about put the vote back in the public proposal. I think you've heard plenty about it. The only thing I would say, I think, that gives reinforcement to that is I appreciate gas tax has either gone down or remained flat for years. Portland's not alone in this issue in the nation. It's a national phenomenon. It's a national issue. At some point, it will break with the federal government. All the more reason why we should revisit the project. It should sunset in maybe 6 years with a vote or just sunset, because I think the world will change in terms of funding. I don't think it can continue the way it is, and right now we're assuming there's not many other changes happening. My second point, I had 5 points. I don't think I'll get to them all, but the second point is publicly and unconditionally reaffirm the city's commitment to continue with not less than the 2014 road repair funding as part of the new initiative. When we met with, when the Commercial Committee met with staff in the committee meetings, the Director of Transportation was unequivocal that they would take what they are spending today, put it in the same kitty as would be the new money, and it would be a merged effort. That's not in your current ordinance, and I would have to say that specifically I had a meeting with Commissioner Novick about it, and I believe he told me he was not prepared to do that. That he
Chris,
wasn't.
Yes. Just to respond to that, what I said was that if gas tax revenues collapsed and we didn't have any money,
I understand.
Then I couldn't promise that I could convince the rest
but you're
of the
asking,
council.
Yeah, I understand. And what I said was you're asking us to promise going forward that we're going to make a commitment, not knowing that the market might not turn. It's a good faith effort. Both parties have to take a step forward and not be unconditional. The tax isn't conditional. The tax is going to be on for 6 years, 5 years, whatever it's going to be. And so we live under that same problem. And I think the city needs to live under that
same problem. Well, but actually, Chris, the tax is conditional because, for example, if incomes collapsed and nobody in Portland was making more than $25,000 a year, then our tax revenue would go down dramatically because the tax is based on income.
Put on the business side. The business numbers don't change if the economy gets tougher. The business numbers do not change.
Actually, they could because it's based on square footage, number of employees,
you're
and gross
right,
revenues.
But
so
if
businesses shrank, then they would pay less.
Great. But by and large, it's a bigger move. But it's not saying we aren't committing. I think the city needs to make the same stand-up commitment. That would be my point.
You mean to the balance?
To the committing. This, I believe the number is $14 million. I could be wrong on what the city spent on road repair.
Okay.
Pardon me?
No, I get it. You want that carried forward.
I want and put in the funds so we all know where it's going and it's clear and it's transparent and the like. My next item was the city should partner with us in this a little more. There have been, I think you know through the committee structure, there were two or three different options looked at.
Keep going. Interrupted you.
All the way from the city to picking up the streetcar funds, which were about $4 million and putting them in the general fund, to a 13-13-13 split between city, the residents and businesses. I think you know about that. My proposal is this. I think the collection costs are an extraordinary cost in this project. They're over $4 million a year. And I think that's a number that's hard to even rationalize. You're talking about, your own proposal says you have 22 new revenue collectors as part of this project. That's not including the 59 more PDOT staff that somebody referenced. I'm going to submit that the city, if that's really what it is, the city should pick up that cost. And you can do one of two things with that $4 million. And this is my recommendation to you. You can reduce the 46 to 42, because it went up $6 million. And when the committee was disbanded, we were at 40 million. You folks raised it to 46. You can go back to 42 or keep the 46 and put the 4 million into real road repairs. I'm just saying, I'm not splitting it 50-50 or 56-44. I'm saying, and I'm going to talk more about road repairs in a second if you're going to grant me a minute. So this one, next one, I'd like to read, because I'm not going to remember the numbers right offhand. PDOT's own figures show needing $91 million per year for 10 consecutive years to restore our roads to reasonable conditions. Simple math, not inflated, that's $910 million worth of road improvements. Your proposal provides $15 million per year toward real road restoration. At that rate, it would take 6 years of the program to equal 1 year of need. 6 years at $15 million is $90 million. We need $91 million a year. So we're not making headway. So part of my reason for requesting that you commit the $14 million that you've been spending into this package is that we need to build a bigger kitty for road repair. In addition, the commercial committee recommended 75% to go to road repair. I know that the residential committee was going to recommend probably not that high a number, and some were at 50 and some were at 60, but it was a lower number. But in the end, your own projections show $202,800,000 of net revenues over the first 6 years of this program. I'm taking this off of your own literature. 70% of this amount, if it were 70%, would be $142 million toward road repair over the 6 years. Assuming council does not commit to continue with its current level of road repair funding, as I have suggested, 6 years, I mean, it does commit, I'm sorry, 6 years of existing of the $14 million will add another $84 million toward road repair. This equals $226 million over the next 6 years. If the city were to take the suggestion about funding the collection side of it, that would be another 6 or 10 years and another $4 million. We can do the math. But if we did that all, we'd get close to $400 million against a need of $910 million. I just want you to know how far we're falling short of really repairing the roads. And while we've created two categories, safety and maintenance, road maintenance is a safety issue. If you can't drive correctly on the road, you will be a problem. You will create safety problems. And I think we've made this arbitrary and almost harmful division between the two categories.
Chris, I've given you some more time, but I want you to try to wrap up.
I'm sorry. My last point. Under the current proposal for the residential tax, the minimum tax for the person who pays, the household that pays, makes $35,001 is $2 per month. I assure you that at $24 a year, you are not recovering the costs of collection. It is a loss leader. We're eating up our valuable dollars to make road improvements by collecting $2 from people. You need to set the minimum at least the real cost of collection and hopefully something toward actual road repair. We've said if you're going to say $35,000 is the number where people need to actually begin to become a contributor, $2 per month is not making you a contributor. I think it's actually a loss leader. I don't have the firm math on that, but I dare you to say it will cost.
Actually, Chris, I did ask our Revenue Bureau exactly that question, and they said that since we're going to have to be processing people's submissions to see if they're exempt, it doesn't cost any more to say somebody owes us $2 than to say that they're exempt. And in fact, the arts tax is about $3 per month per person, in effect. And although we spend more than we would like in administration, we don't spend all of it in administration.
I understand your point. If the point were that at $35,001, people should be making contributions to help repair the roads, they're still not. You're telling me the cost is the same anyway. I'm saying you can't do that assessment for $24.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut off this discussion because we're running out of time. But thank you both for your service and for this analysis, and I appreciate your points. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hills and members of the City Council. My name is Lisa Rummel. I'm the president-elect of BOMA Oregon. The members of BOMA care deeply about the livability and the long-term economic vitality of our city. We applaud the city's efforts to tackle the difficult challenges posed by our neglected roads. We understand and agree that the immediate remedial measures need to be taken to begin the process of repairing our roads. After careful considering the pending Our Streets proposal, BOMA is unable to support the proposal. Our concerns are as follows. The proposal seeks to impose a new city income tax without voters' approval, which would be the first for the city of Portland. Under the proposal, a large portion of the members of our community would benefit from the plan, would be fully exempt from supporting it. We believe this plan is inherently unfair. The proposal has no sunset date. We believe it's critical that there's an ending date at which the city must review the program and carefully consider whether it should continue. The proposal should be revised to ensure that the funds are directed primarily to road pavement and maintenance. We strongly urge the council to heed PBA's recommendation and proceed as the PBA suggests. BOMA believes it's critical that under any plan that involves raising new funds for road improvement in Portland, that it must include a mechanism for careful and consistent oversight. In conclusion, if the council believes that BOMA can assist in finding solutions to these and other issues, please let us know. We would be happy and pleased to meet with you and discuss how we might be of service. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Let me do a quick time check. I know we're in danger of losing at least one member of the council to other commitments. I know we have a sign-up sheet, but would you raise your hand if you're still planning to speak? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 12 or 15. That's going to take us 30 minutes plus. Oh, sorry. Missed you. Okay. 15 or 20.
There's plenty of seats down here.
Come on down if you want to relocate. But stay up there if you'd like.
Mayor,
come on down.
While we're about to call the next three, and Commissioner Novick will either agree with this or he'll have a better recollection. But one of the three testifiers ago, the question was, when's the last time we voted on a federal income tax? And Steve knows this one. Cole, I had to go to Wikipedia. It turns out it was in 1911 when the state of Oregon ratified the 16th Amendment. And it was the 16th Amendment that allowed Congress to actually impose a progressive income tax. Without it, they couldn't. So there may have been a national vote since then, but it appears that Oregon last voted in 1911. Steve, is that?
Commissioner Fish, you're putting me to shame with your historical knowledge through Wikipedia.
All right. Let the record show. Thank you. Let's call the next three folks.
We're going to go with Hilda Stevens, Leslie Centner, and Carol Fortions. And after them will be Elizabeth Robillard, Marianne Fitzgerald, and Thomas Martin.
And Mayor, can I just make one comment? This has been an extraordinary hearing, and the testimony has been uniformly thoughtful. As we get later in the day and we risk losing a quorum, I would especially urge people to raise issues that they don't feel have gotten enough ventilation. Typically, we don't make decisions based on 20 people testifying this way, five this way. We try to listen. We take each person's testimony on its own merit. So I would urge people to also focus on things they don't think have gotten enough attention so far in this hearing.
Thank you. Well,
perfect, because that's actually going to lead me to what I'm going to be talking about. So thank you, council members and mayor, for having me here today. My name is Hilda Stevens. I'm a resident. I'm also a small business owner and a board member for the Hawthorne Boulevard Business Association. One of the topics that have been in a lot of discussion has been in the terms of there being two fees, a resident fee and a business fee. There's actually a third fee that nobody has thought about today. It's an indirect fee. It's called a CAM charge, C-A-M, which is a commercial area maintenance charge. Over 95% of all small businesses statistically pay for this charge today. This is the net charge billed to the tenants in a commercial lease, also known as triple nets, and are paid by tenants to the landlord, typically prorated, and includes but not limited to property taxes and fees. So while you're saying that small businesses would be paying a very small percentage, anywhere between $3 to $144 per month, think about in my case where I have a property owner who owns a lot of properties in the city, is probably generating over $8 million in revenue, and all those fees are going to be passed down to the small business. So once again, the small business gets all the fees.
So we would need to figure out a way to avoid that double taxation.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Then there's three, when in reviewing your projects, I just wanted to address a couple of things. You added a bus stop investment initiative as part of one of these projects. As a small business, I currently pay a TriMet fee that's paid quarterly. I have 5 employees, and I pay $50 per employee per quarter. You also talked about the infill for sidewalk improvements. I'm not sure if this means new sidewalks or existing sidewalks. I currently ran into two situations in the last 3 to 5 years. One is a resident where we had some cracks on our sidewalks. We were told that our homeowners association fees had to pay for those sidewalks because they were in the right of way. That was $1,500 that the homeowners association had to come up with. This last year, we were having some severe deteriorating sidewalks along our business corridor. And again, we were told that because it was in the right of way, the businesses had to pay for that. That was a $5,000 fee that came out of our CAM charges. So I'm a little concerned about that 10% of revenue allocated to sidewalks and how it's going. If it's for new construction, I would recommend that you go through system development charges, make all these developers pay for those sidewalks. And finally, I wanted to just briefly talk about your public process. You talk about having town hall meetings, obviously these meetings. Part of public process, and I'm a former certified public by IAPT, which is the International Association for Public Participation. As a public servant, it's your job to be out in the public coming to our meetings. I'm a board member of the Hawthorne Boulevard Business Association, and I have not had one board member come to us or your staff to talk about this Portland fee. So I urge you to, one, slow down the process, explore other methods, such as a motorized user fee, which a lot of people talked about, and in the end, refer it to the voters. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I just, for Commissioner Fritz's benefit, note that Hilda's Restaurant Bar is considered one of the favorite places in town to drink a Belgian beer and watch the Thorns. So it's a twofer.
I'm going to take the fifth on the drinking the beer, but I haven't, in fact, I know that from good knowledge that their Brussels sprouts are particularly fine.
There you go.
Brussels sprouts. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Carol Fortino, one of those crotchety old property owners in Northwest Portland who feel that we are already paying too much in taxes, property, and income, and want the pet projects to stop in order to balance the budget and pay for the basics again. We love this city and will try to continue to keep it livable and still reasonable and affordable so my children and grandchildren can afford to live here. I don't have all the figures, but then City Council doesn't either, so we're all in the same boat trying to use our money wisely, and this tax is not a wise way to use our money. We have some questions. We want some clarity about how much, where it goes, your job, I believe. Street maintenance in the general budget, what happened to that? Repurposed? I don't know. The source of the funding is an income tax that bears little relation between who uses the service and who pays. A free pass is given to all those who come to Portland from outside city limits, as well as those with studded tires. Oh yes, although road maintenance has been neglected, less than half of these funds will actually be spent on it. And is this not a one-time emergency levy, but a permanent assessment that may be raised at any time, as several have discussed, with no sunset provision? Is it just coincidence that the income levels were constructed such that with the income level exemptions in place, as well as exemptions for public retirees, our leaders are carefully trying to ensure that there's enough of a constituency who benefits without having to pay to ensure that a public vote would pass? Why must the use of every basic service of government be based on income? How many people have to move out of this city for council to get it? I will reiterate the solution that I think is most practical. The parking permit sticker fee, which is a progressive solution, it is fair. We can have an exemption or a reduced cost, and it is easy to administer, and it's tied to usage.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Leslie Sentner, and I do have copies if you'd like them now or
sure,
later.
Just Carla will give them to us. Thank you.
Okay. Could you move the mic just a little closer? The whole thing shifts down if you want to.
Sure.
That middle thing moves.
If I just don't slide off the chair.
That'll work.
Slide over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's at 152. Yay.
No, you're fine.
Thank you. So thank you for being here, and thank you also to everyone who has participated. It's very nice.
Just give us your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Leslie Sentner. As I've listened, I've edited a lot of this. So I have been brainstorming a lot with myself with the information that I have and understand, and I have limited understanding of all this information, and I know I'm missing some information. So whatever is on here that's incorrect, you'll have to just forego that. The Portland street fee proposal raises several questions. Information and answers from council will help concerned citizens formulate more sustainable solutions to resolve the budget issues. With limited information and understanding, I have brainstormed and come up with the following possible solutions. First, until the budget is balanced, a moratorium on pet projects should be imposed to halt misspending. I agree with the sunset clause and need to vote on the tax. I also agree with the sales tax. Second, tax people who use our infrastructure on a daily basis all 365 days of the year but do not pay into our ever-growing budget demands. Third, progressively tax heavy commercial freight liners and construction trucks, that would be including TriMet buses, adjusting for weight and impact on roads. Fourth, implement yearly user's sales tax on studded tires, eventually prohibiting them entirely. Five, devise a cyclist registration fee for people using our public roads requiring road tests and licensing, similar to auto drivers. Rules of the road to be updated and licenses renewed for cyclists and drivers include enforcement of road violations for cyclists who are not wearing helmets. The side note that I wanted to mention is the pedestrians, drivers, and cyclists are confused by all the new changes throughout the city. It also causes a lot of congestion, which leads to more emissions. And a lot of out-of-town people are very confused if you ever try to follow them downtown. Anyway, it creates a dangerous situation, so we're talking about safety, and it also concerns a lot of angst between drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians.
Senator, you've run out of time, but I appreciate the fact that you've put this carefully in writing. So we do
and
have,
that's, I think you can deal with the
document.
Rest, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much, and I appreciate the very thoughtful points. Appreciate you being here as well, and all of you for being patient enough to stay here until this long. So thanks so much.
Vacate our seats quickly.
All right, let's have the next three, please.
Our Elizabeth Robillard,
sure, she's here.
Marianne Fitzgerald, and Thomas Martin, and what about Patty Lazar, Arlene Kimura, and how about Tom McGinnis? He may have left. I've got his written testimony. Alan Willis.
Okay, come on up, Alan.
And then we have Teresa McGuire, Amanda Dalton, and Larry Snell.
All right. You're on. The last three of you are on deck, and Marianne, you're ready.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm Marianne Fitzgerald, and I've been a member of the PBOT Budget Advisory Committee since 2009, and I serve on a lot of other PBOT committees, including the Advisory Committee for the Street Fee. But this is my personal testimony today. I'm not representing anybody right now but myself. I'm very familiar with the PBOT budget and how much it's been cut over the last 6 years. There's a lot of needs for safer infrastructure, but dwindling revenue because of the heavy reliance on the gas tax. The budget letter from the Budget Advisory Committee continues to advocate for more funding, and the street fee that you're considering today is much better than the one that was unveiled this spring. Much more progressive and better that it bases it on the ability to pay and not how much people drive or induce trips. It would be great to build in incentives to drive less, but in places like Southwest Portland, it's so unsafe to walk. The people need for the city to build safer walking and bicycling infrastructure in order to get people out of their cars. The main concern that I hear from people is that this is like the last straw. We've got the children's levy, the fire and police pension fund, urban renewal, parks bond, sales tax, Portland Public Schools bond, Portland Community College bond, and it just keeps going and going. These are all for good causes. I voted for every one of them, but they do add up. So I know that as we're entering the budget session that you've been working on things like the performance management dashboard to try to do what Mr. Romaine mentioned in terms of being more transparent about how we're using our dollars and that they are contributing to livability. Under Mayor Adams, we had budget mapping, and that disappeared with him. I think that you need to put the data behind the dashboards as well as the dashboards out for the public so that we all can see why we need this and how our tax dollars are contributing to livability in the city. So we need this funding. I like the projects on the list. They need to be vetted, but go for it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Arlene, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I'm speaking on behalf of the East Portland Action Plan. The action plan supported this proposal with the understanding that we would have the safety measures in place. In East Portland, we have mostly no streets to maintain, so street maintenance is not as much of an issue. Safety is. In the last year, we've had 7 people who died crossing streets, and we have several of the high crash corridor intersections, as well as very dark and very poorly lit streets, especially in the wintertime. So the support of the action plan was contingent on getting the safety measures in place. We support the plan with its with a proviso that we have a more transparent process. As Marianne talked about, it is not always clear how the dollars are being spent, and we would urge some sort of additional transparency, some sort of additional oversight, and also strongly consider a sunsetting, at least an evaluation period of maybe 3 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your service.
Arlene, I just have to tell you, because I know your situation in East Portland is much like mine in Southwest.
Yes.
The light bulb in the street light outside of my house was replaced with the LED bulb. It's the bulb this past week. Ooh. It's the only one for blocks around, and it's really much better. So I think you're going to really like those new lights.
Thank you.
Mr. Willis, welcome.
Alan Willis, Southwest Portland. One thing that happens when one waits as long as I have to testify is that you hear a lot of good information as you go along. I've appreciated the thought and comments of those who've testified this afternoon. Like somebody else said, I've probably rewritten my testimony 20 different times as a result of it. It's been all very good, whether I agreed with it or not. One thing I did learn is that the Oregonian has done a very good job of demonizing PERS retirees. And I want you to know that you are looking right now at a living, breathing PERS pensioner. You'll notice that I am not in my Imperial Stormtrooper armor, nor do I wear a Darth Vader helmet, despite what the Oregonian may tell you. And this information might be of some interest to Commissioner Fritz, as she said earlier. I am not exempt from the arts tax, and I assume I will not be exempt from whatever you pass here. The reason for that is because any additional income over and above one's PERS income, and it's a very low threshold, makes you eligible. So as I have looked into it, looks like it's a very small percentage, 2% or less of people that are even affected in that regard. First, before I go any further, I want to commend the mayor and Commissioner Novick for recognizing the problem and trying to do something about it. I was a little alarmed and shocked when I first heard that there was this need, because the city of Portland is the first agency that I ever heard the notion that it costs a lot more to rebuild a road than it does to, so I was surprised it happened, but I'm glad you're doing something about it. Secondly, I want to thank the city for the city staff for the recent open house that they had on the issue. They were cordial. They were informative. I learned a lot that I hadn't learned before. So, and then just quickly, if I can, I would favor some kind of gas tax and or car registration way to raise this money. I'm totally in favor of the need for the money. And whatever the mechanism would be, I guess my final suggestion would be to prioritize the maintenance. That's the items listed on this sheet here.
Mm-hmm.
The overview of proposed revenue allocation, and just fund only that. That'll cut out the initial tax. And I've heard the testimony this afternoon on safety, so I'm not writing that off at all. And with all due respect to you, Commissioner Fritz, but I'm thinking maybe with a sunset and with being able to prove that the city has had a demonstrated record of actually bearing down and getting the backlog maintenance out of the way, that might open a way for future iterations that could improve the safety funding if that is necessary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you for your patience in waiting. I would note that it's actually the other way around. The safety projects, there's a finite number of them, and they'll eventually get done. As has been noted with the maintenance funding, even with the proposed level of funding, it's going to get worse.
Am I correct in what is it correct to what I've heard that at some point perhaps your predecessors or somebody made an actual decision not to do maintenance? Is that correct, or have I just heard that in the wind and incorrectly?
I've never been the transportation commissioner, so I don't know.
I'm sorry. I really apologize.
Turn your mic off.
Has somebody
I apologize. I missed what you said.
The question I was asking is, I either read or heard somewhere, and I couldn't find it this afternoon, that somewhere in the past, the city or Peabody or the council sort of made an actual proactive decision to sort of let road maintenance go by the wayside. Is that correct, or have I heard incorrectly?
Not exactly. What you might have heard is that it used to be that a substantial portion of utility license fees were put into transportation. If you go back to the 80s, if we got as much utility license fee money now, adjusted for inflation, as we got then, we get about $26 million a year, and instead we get about $2 million a year. So at some point, beginning in the mid to late 80s, the city council started spending the utility license fee money on other city priorities
like police and fire
and parks. So you could say that at that point there was a shift from maintenance to other things, but it wasn't like the council announced that it didn't care about the streets anymore.
But though, actually, I am remembering under my while I've been on the council, Mayor Adams did say that we were going to prioritize arterial streets and stop doing residential streets because of the limited amount of funding. We decided there was an active decision to focus it on the most heavily traveled business streets rather than the residential streets.
Thank you for allowing me to ask that question and for your responses.
Thanks, Alan. Take care. Okay, next three, please.
I got lost here. Sorry. Teresa McGuire, Amanda Dalton, and Larry Snell. Thank you. And how about David Hempston?
Thanks for waiting.
And then we have Barry Jostel, Lightning, and Soren Impey.
Welcome.
Thank you. Teresa McGuire. I have a little bit of a cold today, so we'll try to get through this, and I'll shorten what I had presented. First of all, the total budget is $3.6 billion, and so I had an opportunity to go through and peruse that budget and give some thought to your mission statement that was also included with that budget. And the budget's mission statement, of course, lists your core services, and it's proud to provide to its citizens. And the second item that's listed is transportation. But when you look at PBOT's budget, out of that $3.6 billion, PBOT has a budget of $314 million for streetlights, parking garages, whatever, including the paving. When you get down to the same PBOT budget, I have that they're currently spending $11.3 million on actual paving. So if the PBOT budget is the second most important core service that the city provides. That budget total of $314 million is actually 3.5% of the total budget. 10% of the total budget. Of the actual paving of the PBOT budget, you're only spending 3.5%. So we're talking $314 million. You're only spending 3.5% on actual paving projects. So when I look at that, and I look at that $3.6 billion, that means, as a city, you're spending 0.3% of the total city budget just on paving projects. So there's almost 300 other buckets out there that you're filling before you even look at the paving. So for me, I'm looking at that's how little you value paving. But when it comes to what's been going on over the past 2 years since Commissioner Novick and you, Mayor Hales, have come in, is that, of course, our property tax dollars, which I believe Mary Ann also gave word to, so that when you're talking about what that extra money means to a person out there who is working and doing whatever, that they're probably working an hour or two extra a week just to make up for that additional since 2012 to now 2014. And if you only have 15 to 20 hours per week that's your leisure time and whatever, and you're working an extra hour or two, the sacrifice on a person is so much different than the sacrifice that you as a city are making.
Thank you. I want to stop you because we do have the rest of your testimony. But I want to recommend, if you would, take a look at both the city's budget webpage and the Portland Mercury's article on where your property tax dollars go. Because not all that $3 billion is fungible. You know, we can't transfer it from one thing to another. But
what I'm saying is when you're coming to us and saying, hey, we're going to add one more coin on there, you also have to look at what that means to the average person out there.
Hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Amanda Dalton with Dunn Kearney here today on behalf of the Northwest Grocery Association, representing the Pacific Northwest grocery retail industry and about 20 member stores here within the city of Portland. We recognize the importance of continued street investment, both to our commercial truck fleet as well as access for our residential customers. You heard from us in May that the non-residential street fee as proposed was unreasonable and unaffordable. We want to say thank you for slowing down the process, for allowing us to participate in the non-residential work group over the past 6 months. And we believe the move away from the trip generation methodology is a reasonable and fair compromise. And we're here today to support the non-residential business proposal before you. And just want to say thank you to yourself and to your staff for working with us.
Yeah, thanks for your help as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Hampston, the East Portland's representative to the Transportation Budget Advisory Committee, and I've long supported increasing funding to transportation. I think, in fact, I'm actually one of the people who have edited the letter that you get on an annual basis for the last 4 years, and we hope to have a similarly good letter this year from the Budget Advisory Committee. I'm speaking on behalf of the groups I represent in East Portland. A lot of them support some sort of funding mechanism for East Portland. The problem with East Portland, along with the lack of the infrastructure, is that many of us, our poorest people, are actually dependent upon the automobile to get around. They have to live, in order to afford to where they live, they have to often live away from where there's public transit and good walking and biking facilities. Therefore, they have to drive to get to work. The use of a gas tax is extremely regressive because these people have to drive everywhere, and they don't have the option of leaving their car at home and biking to work. The other problem that we're having, and that we're only starting to understand, is that most people who live in East Portland do not actually work downtown. The whole transit system and even a lot of the transportation system for the city is based upon getting people from East Portland down to downtown, But in reality, they're actually working in the Columbia Corridor that is north of East Portland, or they're working in the Clackamas Town Center area south of East Portland. So it's much more of a north-south transportation problem for East Portland. Essentially, you as city council are governing two different cities. The inner part of Portland, and I admit, Southwest badly needs infrastructure, but they're much more in tune to getting to downtown for their work rather than north-south as East Portland is. And so I would strongly urge city council to basically have PBOT focus on getting transportation improvements for north-south connections. I would also, I'm glad about PBOT's work on East Portland, but I think they need to do much the same work in Brentwood-Darlington of Southeast Uplift, which is another area that was annexed that has terrible infrastructure, and also for Coley and Sumner. They've done a good job with Coley lately, but Sumner, for instance, is very neglected. So I would strongly urge City Council to direct PBOT to do further work in those areas, and I am glad of the work that they have done for the East Portland in motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a good point. Yeah.
Actually, David, a lot of people in Southwest also need to get north-south because if we work in Beaverton and Wilsonville and Hillsborough.
Thank you. Thank you. Well said. Okay. Next three, please.
Our Barry Jo Stahl, Lightning, and Soren Impe. How about Gordon Hoffman? Douglas Allen? Oh, Gordon's here. Okay, and next will be Douglas Allen, Michelle Becker, or I. Fisher Williams also.
Lightning, go ahead, please. Or Mr. Stahl, one of you.
Go ahead, Lightning. Thank you. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Humanitarian Lab. Tremendous amount of work put into this proposal. Again, Commissioner Novick, you've basically stated it's data-driven. You've pointed out a lot of different projects where the money will be directed over many years. My position is I support this proposal, but with some contingencies. The overall amount of money you want per year, I feel, needs to be adjusted. I think in the first year, we need to look at a range of $25 million. Second year would be $35 million. Third year would be $45 million. Now, why I say that is, as Mr. Romaine and various other speakers have suggested, we need to look at the gas tax. So if we can get that pushed into place in the next 1 to 2 years, we might not have to come up with that additional money. If we can implement, say, a all motor vehicles, which this one gentleman suggested, parking stickers, which I think is a great idea to study from Chicago, we might not have to come up with all that additional money. So again, I want to see something put into place. I want to see this happen and be approved by the council, but I want you to make a commitment that you will pursue these other avenues to benefit the public so they know that you're going to really do this. We all know there needs to be a certain amount of money. And if you adjust the price on it or the numbers on this, I think the public is going to look at it in a more reasonable manner. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stahl, welcome.
My name is Barry Jo Stahl. First, I'd like to wrap up any rumors. I am totally against the Portland Business Association using the crushed bones of homeless people to fix potholes. You can't be trusted. We can't even get off this block without seeing the signs that are a product of Commissioner Saltzman telephoning in his vote. They say this is a sidewalk management area. That was passed bereft of the city charter. I filed a lawsuit about that. That was in 2011, and I was arrested August, October, November, December, February 2012. And July 14th, 2012. The sole conviction was a $50 fine for pulling the handle on the Max as I was projected from behind into the boarding woman passenger. So, Commissioner Novick, I hope he gets to review this. We can afford to lose a lot of Portland police officers. We can afford to lose all of the $10 million a year that goes to transit police on TriMet. Every one of the communities already has a police force. That funding comes through the City of Portland Police Bureau. We also have the mothballed Wapato Jail that costs us $50,000 a year and is a product of the City of Portland Conditional Use Permit. I proposed in August 2010 that would be used for cannabis research. No, I didn't, because I was in jail that day. Once again, found not guilty. You cannot be trusted. These people are giving you valid ideas, and we want to know where the money's going, and we don't need another reason for Ross Island Cement to take Ross Island and put it on our city streets so that they can make yet more money to donate to Commissioner Fisher's campaign. He did take a campaign contribution from R.B. Pamplin Corporation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, please. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Gordon Hoffman. I'm a small business owner and a resident of Portland, Multnomah County. And I'm here on my own accord, although I reflect certainly the views of a lot of my peers in the business, mostly questions and misunderstandings and some concerns about efficiencies. So let me just quickly go through them. Paul Romaine obviously hit the big one. That is, if this is so important, why isn't it being done? To me, road maintenance and service is right up there with public safety. It certainly should be. And I thought, frankly, it was being covered until this tax issue came up. I've run many big budgets in big companies, and if an essential service was not being done and it only was 1% of my net budget, the board would have fired me. And by the way, these people are your board. So it's an issue, and you need to educate people as to what's going on here. Secondly, we talk about efficiency in delivering services, and one issue I haven't heard about is how efficient are your transportation people and other people about delivering the service. There's jokes all the time about people standing around drinking Starbucks coffee, so I decided to watch a crew. And I spent probably an hour eating my lunch watching them. There were six people. Only two ever worked. And as I stared, the other four began to just move things back and forth in their truck. Now, I grew up in Chicago, and I saw the same thing. And we don't want to end up like Chicago. We want Portland to be a city that works. Chicago doesn't. And so I got concerned, called my friends in transportation. They investigated. They said this is in the collective bargaining agreement that these people have to be there. Who negotiates these collective bargaining agreements? Are they efficient? Have you all looked at them? It's a question, and it's a question a lot of us have about efficiency, and if there's a doubt in our minds, then it's hard to support a new tax.
Thank you. Well, I would encourage you to talk to some of these citizens that are on the Budget Advisory Committee, because they look at that very carefully. And actually, I did, and Commissioner Novick as well, tasked the Transportation Bureau to pave 100 miles of streets this last year with the money they already had, and that the previous year before we arrived, it was about 35, and they exceeded that goal with the budgets they already have. And actually, I spent quite a bit of time in the field watching their folks do the work, and I would say they're doing a very efficient job of it. So I'm not sure whose crew you saw that day, but these folks took the dollars that they were already given and more than doubled the productivity of the work. And I give Director Treat and her team a lot of credit as good managers, and the folks that do the work every day credit as good workers for delivering a lot of value. And actually, there's also state law that requires that for certain size projects, we contract out portions of the work, so it's competitively bid. So we have that control of seeing how the private sector bids compare to our own costs of doing business, and we constantly compare those two. So we do have a lot of management information that suggests that our crews are doing a great job with the money they have, but that there's not enough of it.
I think you need to share that with the community so they understand that. Because
yeah, fair point. And I appreciate
that. They don't,
that.
And
yeah.
So I'm giving you some guidance.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's a good suggestion. We need to get that word out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three are Douglas Allen, Michelle Becker, and I. Fisher Williams.
Hi, welcome.
They'll be followed by Kevin Minkoff, Ben Sias, and Herschel Soles.
Good evening.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Douglas Allen, and I guess my basic premise is that an income tax to pay for roads just doesn't make all that much sense to me. It seems like I would go back to Mr. McCullough and Eric Fruits' suggestions that gas tax is much more appropriate. And I'd like to follow up on your question to Eric Fruits as to how do you make a gas tax progressive? Because I was quite pleased to hear Paul Romaine say that the petroleum dealers would be happy to have a statewide increase in the gas tax. And I think that's long overdue. And the way you make it progressive is you get together with the other local communities in Oregon and you pass a statewide carbon tax. And this would produce two pots of money. One would be the money that's dedicated by Article 9, Section 3 of the Oregon Constitution to road purposes. And that would flow to you as increased funding to pay for this road work that you'd like to have done. The other part should be treated the way the province of British Columbia treats their carbon tax and be refunded in a very progressive fashion. Now, there's another way that you could also add progressivity is to try to provide more mass transit. The Metro Council right now is working on a Climate Smart Communities Initiative, and they've discovered that providing transit is the way we're going to reduce carbon emissions as a part of our local share that we're required to do, and that increasing all this road expenditures really does nothing to improve the carbon emission situation. So I'm afraid this thing will be a dog in the manger, that once it's passed, we've been self-centered, and then we won't be pushing at the state to get a statewide carbon tax. And so at the very least, you need a sunset clause that sunsets it when a statewide carbon tax is put into place. Otherwise, it will be an impediment to a statewide carbon tax. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Becker. I'm just a regular resident here in Portland. I have three kids and a husband who also is a kid. But anyway, I'll just cut to the chase here. I really want you to consider an alternative that takes sources across the board, existing funding sources. So I want you to open the book to the Parks Department and everywhere else. It's that important that we fund roads first. You ask for solutions. I'm not an expert on this. If you want me to throw out some, I will. I think that it's more important to fund the roads than it is to fund art education. I would take the art tax and I would put it back on the ballot and I would ask the voters to redirect the funds to road maintenance. That's just one idea. I'm not all that familiar with the benefit of PDC, but maybe it's outlived its lifespan, and maybe it's time to redirect those funds. I know that you're partial to the summer internship program, and I think it's worthwhile. I just don't think it's more worthwhile than letting our roads rot. So I think another $195,000 a year towards roads is important. Those are hard choices. And I don't envy you your work. And in fact, I applaud you for trying. But I just want you to open up the book and look across the board first there and then come back to us with the things that fell off the list if you feel that strongly about them and say, this is what we want you to fund now and here's how we're going to do it. But you should start there. That's all.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And I invite you to come on back in our budget process, which starts in January, to hear from folks who are affected by some of the programs that you have been talking about, because we've had a very focused conversation on transportation needs, and there's a lot of challenges that which aren't quite immediately obvious. For instance, the summer intern program, that it's helpful to hear from folks who are affected by those programs as well before deciding between one and the other.
I thoroughly agree with you. I read a little bit more about it after I saw it in your budget, and I understand. It's difficult. I don't envy you. I'm just saying that if I had to put the two side by side, I'm not going to wait for more expensive road repairs while I fund an internship.
Right.
Just not.
And let me just give you some further context, because what we decide in the budget process is the $400 million general fund budget. It was referred to the $3.5 billion overall city budget. That includes things like water and sewer, which are dedicated funds. We're not allowed to use those for streets. So we have $400 million. More than half of that goes to police and fire. So yes, there might be some savings here and there if we cut $195, $1,000 here or there. The magnitude of what we're talking about here is $91 million. So we could do, and maybe should, do a lot more cutting elsewhere. The magnitude of the problem is such that that's not going to be able to be possible to fix the problem.
Thank you. I would still urge you to consider those, though.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for staying late.